It's November 2017. People are bustling down Tremont Street in downtown Boston, pulling their coats tight against the cold. A few stop to snap photos of a puzzling sign above a construction site.
What's going on here? Why are people taking pictures? You can't see for yourself? Honestly, no.
Well, look up there at the orange sign that's just gone up.
Yeah? Says Duncan.
Exactly. Just Duncan. This woman is one of many longtime customers outraged that after 70 years, Dunkin' Donuts is changing its name to Dunkin'. It seems like such a small thing, but it's not to loyalists. One angry customer tweets, "If not donuts, what is being dunked?" But in fact, donut sales have been on a steady decline. And with people growing more health conscious, why draw attention to the caloric confection in the company name? That single word is a liability. CEO Nigel Travis decided it was time to pivot, but hadn't anticipated such a hot backlash. Furious calls from longtime customers flood the company's headquarters in Canton, Massachusetts.
"Mr. Travis, you better take this one."
Travis takes a deep breath before picking up the phone. Again, it's a local reporter.
"Hello, Mr. Travis. I'm calling to find out why you changed the name."
"Well, we're rebranding. People don't eat donuts so much anymore. So why focus on that when coffee is the draw? And we're improving our coffee without inflating our prices like some of our competitors who have to cover the cost of their cushy in-store environments. Our customers don't have time to lounge around."
The name change signals something more. Dunkin' will not only improve its coffee, which has a higher profit margin than donuts, it also wants to increase its following as the premier on-the-go brand. So they're trimming their variety of donuts while expanding beverage options. But more importantly, they're positioning themselves as the real alternative for coffee lovers, not just a poor cousin to Starbucks. Dunkin' is gambling that if customers can get a skinny soy vanilla latte from Dunkin' for less money than they can at Starbucks, they will. Dunkin's new strategy is by far their most sweeping and ambitious plan to overtake their nemesis. The question is, will their customers accept their new take on a decades-old favorite? Or will the plan fall flat?
If you travel, you know how to pull off a perfect getaway. You know, after you enroll with your Delta SkyMiles Platinum American Express card, you get up to $10 back monthly on U.S. rideshare purchases with select providers, like a car to the airport. You know which remote retreats have the best herbal baths and where the Wi-Fi password is rarely used, because you're the escape artist. It's why you're a Delta SkyMiles Platinum American Express card member. If you travel, you know. Terms apply. Purchases must be on card. Visit go.amex/you know.
Tools and Weapons is a podcast exploring the promise and the peril of the digital age, hosted by Microsoft's vice chair and president, Brad Smith. His latest guest is Bayer CEO Bill Anderson. Though many of us know Bayer for its pharmaceuticals, they're also focused on crop science with the goal of making sure no one on planet Earth goes hungry. On Tools and Weapons, Brad and Bill talk about how the German company is using artificial intelligence paired with CRISPR technology to increase food production without fertilizers. Their efforts put AI and digital tools in the hands of farmers to get the most out of every acre on a hotter, more crowded planet. It's the latest conversation in a series that invites listeners to pull up a front row seat to some of the most important developments in technology today. You can check out this episode and a whole lot more of Tools and Weapons with Brad Smith wherever you get your podcasts. From Wondery, I'm David Brown, and this is Business Wars. In our last episode, Starbucks had a hit with its new instant coffee. Then it suffered a self-inflicted injury with its tone-deaf, race-together public relations disaster. Dunkin' Donuts also fumbled with a racist ad. But now the economy is humming again, and both companies are eager to find out if their new options will entice more customers. This is Episode 6, the Cold Rush. June 2015. Across the coffee industry, cold drinks have become a hot item. Iced coffee consumption is up by 75% over the last 10 years. But sales of Starbucks Frappuccino, once a cash cow, are slowing down. It's time to develop a drink that tastes better than iced coffee. And, of course, it will cost more. Half a dozen research and development team members have gathered in Starbucks' huge test kitchen in Seattle. They're tasting something called a cold brew. It's coffee that's been steeped or brewed in cold water for 15 hours. But the brew is too weak. So they steep the coffee for 30 hours. Too strong. But at 20 hours, the brew is just right. It's light, not acidic, and naturally sweet with notes of chocolate and citrus. It's smoother and more full-bodied than iced coffee. Cold brew arrives in Starbucks stores in July 2015.
What's a grande cold brew and why does it cost $3.25? That's 60 cents more than a grande iced coffee.
We only make one batch of cold brew a day, and because each batch takes 20 hours to brew, once it's gone, there's no more. A lot of people like it much better than iced coffee.
Better than regular iced coffee? Okay, give me a cup. But the price just strikes me as wrong. Wow, that is pretty smooth.
That summer, sales of cold brew explode. To stay ahead of the copycats, Starbucks also launches Nitro Cold Brew, a cold brew infused with nitrogen, which gives the naturally sweet drink an impressive foamy top. Dunkin' strikes back with its own cold brew, and at nearly half the cost of Starbucks cold brew, it becomes a hit. But Dunkin' doesn't just want to pull up even with Starbucks, they want to overtake them. To do that, they want to snare so-called switchers, Starbucks customers looking for an acceptable alternative to their high-priced coffees. By 2016, Dunkin' is proliferating fast. It has nearly 600 stores in the five boroughs of New York City alone. That's more than Starbucks, McDonald's, and Papa John's combined. But now, the coffee holy grail is a frozen drink that can command even fatter profit margins. In 2017, Dunkin' comes up with a winner, frozen Dunkin' coffee, made with coffee extract blended with ice, sugar, and the consumer's choice of cream, whole milk, or skim milk. Then, Dunkin' risks another backlash when it announces it's retiring the culotta. Sure enough, longtime fans light up Twitter with angry complaints. Hashtags read, "Are you insane? Bad move. Fail." But the culotta gets an unsentimental send-off on some newscasts.
The coffee culotta is not healthy. A large mocha with whipped cream contains about 990 calories and 133 grams of sugar.
Or you could just grab all their sugar packets, rip them open, and pour them directly into your mouth. It's sort of the same thing.
But Dunkin' is not counting calories. With Starbucks switchers in mind, Dunkin' releases caramel shaved ice espresso and coconut cream pie flavored iced coffee. And they've begun developing a nitrogen infused cold brew, one that will be just like the one served at Starbucks. These gambles pay off. By the end of 2017, shares of Dunkin' brands are up 25%. Earnings top Wall Street's forecasts. But things are darker at Starbucks. Sales are flat. The once unthinkable is happening. Starbucks is lagging behind Dunkin'. All this just as CEO Howard Schultz is about to retire. In March 2017, as Starbucks shareholders file into the company's annual meeting in Seattle, they're wondering what, if anything, Schultz will do to spice up his final shareholders meeting as CEO. Pop stars like Alicia Keys and John Legend used to entertain at these events. But in a sign of the times, Seattle's recruiting battalion color guard performs a flag presentation, and green apron Starbucks employees sing the national anthem. Then, Schultz takes to the stage with Kevin Johnson, Starbucks president and chief operating officer, who will succeed Schultz as CEO in a few weeks. Schultz turns to the audience.
To everyone here, I just want to say don't listen to Starbucks critics. They don't know what they're talking about. We've always taken the long view. That's how we prosper. We never succumb to short-term pressures.
But one pressure needs to be addressed. It's 8 a.m. in a Washington, D.C. Starbucks. Baristas are struggling to keep up with orders thanks to Starbucks' mobile app, which allows customers to pay for a coffee even before they arrive so they can just zip in and out. Theoretically, anyway. Dozens of annoyed customers are lined up waiting impatiently for their orders placed on the app.
This is ridiculous. The whole point of the app was to skip waiting in lines like this one.
The tension from irritated customers thickens with each passing moment. The cheery music seems bizarrely out of place.
Order for Emily!
The customer snaps up her Frappuccino. Seconds later, she slams down her cup on the counter.
This is the third time you've gotten the wrong order this week.
Sorry, I'm sure you can see we're busy.
Well, I'm busy too. I've got to get to work. Why can't you people get your act together?
Yet, this problem will look small compared to what's coming. Starbucks has embraced progressive politics, but that's about to explode in spectacular fashion. It's April 14th, 2018. Dante Robinson and Rashawn Nelson walk into a Starbucks in an upscale Philadelphia neighborhood. Robinson and Nelson are both 23 years old. They're both African American. They sit at a table, waiting for a third man to show up to talk about a potential business opportunity. Nelson asks a barista for the key to the restroom.
I can't give you the key because you haven't ordered anything.
Nelson returns to his table. He checks his watch, wondering when the guy they're waiting for will finally show up. He's in no mood to wait here all day. The store manager approaches.
You guys have to leave. We're waiting for someone. We're just here for a quick meeting.
But Robinson and Nelson can't see the manager picking up the phone. She's dialing 911.
I have two gentlemen at my cafe that are refusing to make a purchase or leave. I'm at the Starbucks at 18th and Spruce. Please, I'll be on as soon as possible.
The police arrive. The manager points them toward the table where Robinson and Nelson are sitting.
You guys need to leave.
Sorry, but we're not going anywhere.
I'll tell you one more time. Leave now.
The men don't move. The police take out handcuffs.
All right, then. You're under arrest.
The two men can't believe what is happening. They trade stunned glances as they stand and put their hands behind their backs and the police handcuff them. Other Starbucks customers rise from their seats. They're shocked by what they're seeing. One customer whips out his iPhone to record the incident. Another customer walks up to a policeman to complain.
Well, what did they do? What did they do? Someone told me they did.
They didn't do anything. I saw the entire thing.
What did they do?
The men are taken to jail. They're kept there for 8 hours and released only after Starbucks says it isn't pressing charges. Given past blunders, that would be corporate suicide. The public outrage is swift and fierce. A video of the arrest gets nearly 7 million views on Twitter. One person tweets, "I can't believe that two black people were arrested for doing something white people do every day at Starbucks." Starbucks tweets an apology to their customers and to the two men. But to an angry public, a tweet is way too casual and even insulting. The uproar intensifies. Philadelphia's mayor says the incident exemplifies, quote, what racial discrimination looks like in 2018. A boycott movement picks up steam. Protesters gather outside the Philadelphia store.
An occupation by the people. The people who want justice.
The store is forced to temporarily shut down. 3 days later, at a Los Angeles Starbucks, another black man is denied the bathroom key. Once again, there's an angry backlash. Finally, Schultz weighs in with a formal written statement.
We don't want to become a public bathroom, But we're going to make the right decision 100% of the time and give people the key.
Starbucks settles with Robinson and Nelson for an undisclosed sum and an offer of a free college education. For good measure, Starbucks closes 8,000 stores early one afternoon in May, so employees can attend a 4-hour session for racial bias training. It's a move that the company knows will cost them millions of dollars in sales. Duncan sees an opportunity to profit from Starbucks' pain. At a well-attended trade meeting, Duncan's VP of brand stewardship, Drayton Martin, makes Duncan's position clear.
We are not Starbucks. We aren't political. We aren't going to put stuff like race together on our cups to start conversations. We don't want to engage you in political conversations. We want to get you in and out of our store in seconds.
Both Duncan and Starbucks know their success depends on creating the ideal in-store experience. Soon, they'll be looking to outdo each other in radical ways that will cement their positions as the preeminent coffee destinations of the 21st century.
You know, Audible has a brand new collection of exclusive thrillers. Every move is made more exciting by captivating sound design, eerie soundscapes, and dynamic performances. I just downloaded The Grand Opening by Carl Weber. It's a mystery about a family business in a small southern town, and there are secrets around every turn. You know, when I'm listening, the time just disappears, getting completely immersed in the story and the performances. And as an Audible member, you get to keep one title a month from their entire catalog, including bestsellers and new releases. So come on, listen along. New members can try Audible now free for 30 days. Head on over to audible.com/BW or just text BW to 500-500. That's audible.com/BW or text BW to 500-500 to try Audible free for 30 days.
As business owners and managers, you use software for your business every day. You use one piece of software to manage your customers, another to manage your employees, another to manage your finances, and the list goes on. You buy these pieces independently and hope they fit neatly together like a puzzle. And then you find out the hard way that they don't, and you end up with a mess at the heart of your business operations. Does any of this sound familiar? Well, fortunately, Zoho offers a solution to this chaos. It's called Zoho One. Zoho One is a suite of around 50 pre-integrated business applications that fit together beautifully. So instead of dealing with disparate software from multiple vendors with multiple contracts and price points, you deal with one vendor with all the pieces of the business software puzzle neatly put together, offered at a very attractive price. Now, if this sounds interesting to you, you got to check out Zoho One at zoho.one. That's Zoho.one. With Zoho, you're not just licensing apps. You're licensing peace of mind.
January 16, 2018, in Quincy, Massachusetts. Mary Jones is making her daily coffee run for her coworkers.
Everybody want the usual order? I'm heading over to Duncan. Yeah, ice, 2 sugars. But you should check out the new store. I think it's finally open today. There could be freebies.
When she walks in, she's confused for a moment. This Duncan shop is almost unrecognizable.
Whoa, this is crazy nice.
Inside, there are only a few tables or chairs and lots of open space. Natural light streams in through big glass windows. The donuts and baked goods are no longer behind the counter. They're up front in glass display cases. One server is stationed at a serious-looking tap system that dispenses 8 different cold beverages. Customers are lined up both inside the store and at a new drive-through lane, eager to order from the array of iced coffee flavors, cold brew, nitro cold brew, and fruit-flavored tea. With each order, the crew member quickly pushes down on a handle. In an instant, the beverage is poured. Servers wear new black Dunkin' t-shirts emblazoned with pink and orange messages like, "Fueled by positive energy," or "Drink coffee, be awesome." This is Dunkin's next-generation concept store, and it's part of their nationwide makeover. To Jones and other longtimers, the store, with its wide open spaces, sleek white tables, and wood-top stools, feels as shiny as a high-end shop. And that's the idea. Duncan is betting $100 million that the transformation will draw new customers, and hopefully those switchers, looking for an experience as cool as it is quick without the premium price tag. They're testing the waters by opening 50 of these stores in 2018. It's September 2018. Outside a Starbucks shop, a line is forming. But this isn't just any Starbucks, and these aren't just any customers. In a move that borders on either bold or daft, Starbucks opens a shop in the cradle of espresso, Milan, Italy, home to the most discerning coffee lovers, as a sort of homage. It's one of three new extremely high-end reserve roasteries. It's a huge gamble, but Howard Schultz's dream is coming full circle. He's returning to Italy, the place that inspired him to make Starbucks an espresso bar business. He waits for the verdict as hundreds of people line up outside behind a rope. A guard lets in one small group at a time. Starbucks has transformed a former 25,000-square-foot Italian post office into a coffee and food emporium. When customers enter, they gawk at the gigantic brass column in the center, the marble counters and mosaic floors made by local artisans. They marvel at the 115 drinks on offer, including 100 different kinds of cocktails. They inhale the rich aroma of huge batches of coffee being roasted for distribution throughout Europe, the Middle East, and Africa. This is a wholly different experience. One and all are astounded, including a CBS reporter.
You see, Starbucks is written here, but this does not resemble any Starbucks I've ever been in. This is really more of almost a theme park of coffee.
The reporter interviews an Italian customer who arrived skeptical. He schools the reporter on the highlights.
It's the complete experience. It's incredible.
Wow, you've been in here for 15 minutes and you're a convert.
Completely changed my mind.
There's a sense of excitement in this store. Some customers cluster around the affogato station where ice cream is made to order using liquid nitrogen. Others head to the bakery to choose from the vast array of European pastries. For Schultz, this place is a monument to everything he dreamed of creating. Italians, the people who know espresso, have given him the approval he's so long craved. He feels like he's just earned Michelin stars. Now, he can move on.
As you know, all this as the race for 2020 intensifies.
In January 2019, he's back in the news again, chasing a different dream.
The man who gave us so many choices when it comes to coffee believes Americans want something else when it comes to politics.
I am seriously thinking of running for president.
Schultz plans to run as a centrist independent. He is the first of the billionaires to come. But in this moment, Democrats are up in arms, saying his third-party bid will only help re-elect Donald Trump. Aside from the political realities, analysts worry the bid will alienate the brand's liberal customers while repelling conservatives, especially since a research group recently found that liberals were 43% more likely to have visited a Starbucks in a given month, while conservatives were 16% less likely. It's a moot point. After several months, Schultz is forced off the campaign trail to undergo three back surgeries. A year later, he opts out of the race, blaming his health rather than his inability to attract a political following. In February 2020, Dunkin's new CEO, 50-year-old Dave Hoffman, doubles down on rebranding Dunkin as a higher-end coffee destination. He announces a $60 million investment to improve their coffee by installing new brewing equipment in all their locations. They're also going full millennial by heeding customers' calls for cleaner ingredients, removing artificial dyes from its entire food and beverage lineup. Now, both brands are getting ready for a showdown over one of the last remaining areas of growth in the business: breakfast. And they need to lock down customers fast, because once people make their breakfast choice,
they tend to stick to it. Dunkin' is offering up a new roster of breakfast sandwiches that include plant-based Beyond Meat and Beyond Sausage sandwiches. Starbucks pairs with home delivery, partnering with Uber Eats so customers can get coffee and a breakfast sandwich delivered without ever getting out of their PJs. And so, the competition continues. Yet where these two companies stand today depends on what measure you use. In 2019, Starbucks took in more than $26 billion in revenue compared to Dunkin's $1.4 billion. But Dunkin' still has the most loyal customer base. Other competitors are also waking up to the call of superior coffee, including McDonald's, Burger King, and 7-Eleven. Mom-and-pop corner shops and supermarket chains sell artisanal coffees like Blue Bottle and Stumptown. With such heated competition, get ready for high-velocity innovation. Think oat and coconut milk lattes, more flavors. But all that smart marketing took a pummeling from the U.S.-China trade war. Just as Starbucks was readying a massive expansion in China, consumers suddenly became anti-American. The Chinese shunned Starbucks. But the real challenge to Starbucks and Dunkin' may not be each other. Climate change will bring droughts and deforestation, and that will decimate coffee bean production. About half the land around the world used to cultivate high-quality coffee could fail by 2050. 60% of wild coffee species are under threat of extinction, including the Arabica beans used by both Starbucks and Dunkin'. Adapt or die. That's the ethos of life and business. For their own survival, coffee companies have been visiting plantations around the world looking for new coffee strains that can survive climate change and provide for a growing global demand for one of life's necessities, the morning perk. Hey, Prime members, you can binge every episode of Business Wars ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the Amazon Music app today. Or you can listen ad-free with Wondery Plus in Apple Podcasts. Before you go, tell us about yourself by completing a short survey at wondery.com/survey. From Wondery, this is Business Wars. A quick note about the conversations you've been hearing. We can't know exactly what was said at the time, but this dialogue is based on our best research. Now, if you would like to learn more about Dunkin' and Starbucks, we heartily recommend The Challenge Culture, Why the Most Successful Organizations Run on Pushback. That's by Nigel Travis. And there's Onward, How Starbucks Fought for Its Life Without Losing Its Soul, by Howard Schultz. I'm your host, David Brown. Elizabeth Kay wrote this story. Karen Lowe is our senior producer and editor. Edited and produced by Emily Frost. Sound designed by Kyle Randall. Our executive producers are Jenny Lauer Beckman and Marshall Louie. Created by Hernan Lopez for Wondery.
Yo, Trey.
Yeah, Kevin, what's up, man?
I was just thinking, what would have happened if Drew Brees didn't fail his physical with the Dolphins and ended up playing under Nick Saban in Miami?
There's a good shot the Finns establish a dynasty. Tom Brady and Bill Belichick probably don't become GOATs, and Tuscaloosa doesn't become the center of the college football universe.
That's a butterfly effect for real.
Hey, I'm Trey Wingo.
And I'm Kevin Frazier. We're teaming up on a new weekly sports podcast from Wondery, Alternate Routes.
As former sports center anchors and current sports obsessives, we're consumed by all the what-if questions that make being a sports fan so excruciatingly fun.
If you're like us, then you also live and die on the fallout from every drop pass
or play call.
Intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler.
Sorry, Marshawn, still too soon. Each week on Alternate Routes, we'll take a flashpoint in sports, break down what actually happened, then explore every alternate scenario and the ripple effects it would have caused.
Follow Alternate Routes on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen early and ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus.